to back up just a little bit so I can see everybody. Is that all right? Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Let's read a few verses beginning in verse 2. James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." This evening, I want to thank you once again for having Carrie and myself here at Hartford Avenue. It has been an absolutely wonderful weekend so far. This is one of the most hospitable groups of people that we've had our pleasure to meet. And we just wanted to thank you again from the bottom of our hearts. Tonight we're going to discuss a little bit about our attitude, or the Christian attitude, toward temptations or toward suffering. And the fact is, we're all going to go through trials. We're all going to go through certain temptations. And 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, if you really want to look at some hardships, if you really want to look at some difficulties in someone's life, listen to some of the things that Paul went through in his service to the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 24, he says, "From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and the day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren, weariness, toil, sleeplessness, hunger." It goes on and on and on. You think you've had it rough in your life? Paul went through some hard times serving the Lord, didn't he? Peter talks about the fact that the church will go through persecution. The church will go through suffering. In 1 Peter, he writes a letter and he talks about those things that are going to attack us from without. It comes out of the world and tries to hinder the Lord's people. And in the second letter, Peter talks about those things which will attack us from within: false teachers, false doctrine, false brethren, that type of thing. Think about it for a moment. What have you gone through for the Lord? What types of trials have you been through? What types of persecutions have you been through? If you knew beforehand that it was a test from God to test your faith, to test your patience, to test your endurance, would you have approached it differently? Would you have done things differently? Sometimes when we know we are being tested, we approach that test differently than when we're told at the end, "Oh, by the way, everything you've gone through is just a test." It's like, "Well, why didn't you tell me? I thought this was real." We handle things in different ways. The fact is, our attitude toward suffering, our attitude toward temptation, is something we need to understand better so that we can grow in the Lord. James, we just read a few moments ago, chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, James says this: "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." You know, trials in and of themselves are fairly easy to understand, aren't they? We're going to go through a tough time. We're going to go through something to where our faith is tested. How will you come through on the other end? We've all been through different trials. And James says right here in these verses that they are various. That's something that we need to understand about the trials given to us from God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. If we didn't know what the word various means, we could go here and find out. Jesus went all about Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. He was healing all kinds of things. Not everyone had leprosy. Not everyone had epilepsy. Not everyone had dysentery or whatever it might be. Everyone came to Jesus with whatever ailment that they had, and Jesus helped them. There's an indication then when James says there's going to be various trials that we're not all going to go through the exact same thing, are we? Or that we ourselves might go through different things in life. Remember Joseph in his coat of many colors, Genesis chapter 37, verse 3? We always talk about how he had a coat of many colors. We could say they were various colors, couldn't we? They weren't all the same. They weren't all there together. When you think about a trial, or you think about a temptation, I'm sure that some of your versions right now in these verses say, instead of a trial, they use the word temptation. And sometimes I believe that that confuses us. Because, I don't know about you, when I think of a temptation, I think of something that's trying to pull me toward evil. I think of something sinful that's being put in front of me, and am I tempted to partake of that? That's what Satan does. But I thought that God wouldn't tempt us. I thought that God was one who would not put something evil in front of us. And you would be right if you thought that. Because all we have to do is read down a few verses and see that God does not tempt anyone. So it might be confusing when we read through here that we're going to go through various temptations, and then later it says that God doesn't tempt anyone. Well, the temptations in verse 2 and 3 that James is talking about is really trials. These are really things that are going to test our faith. John chapter 6, verse 5 through 7, you'll remember this story. Jesus is preaching and teaching, and there's a great multitude of people there. And he tells his apostles, I want you to go into town, and I want you to buy bread for the people. Well, they only had 200 denarii. And we find out through that story there's over 5,000 people that were fed. How many loaves and fishes? I believe it was 5 loaves and 2 fish. 12 baskets taken up afterwards, wasn't there? You know, that was a test for the apostles. Jesus said, I want you to feed these people. And immediately, what did they think? The stomach. Is that really what Jesus was talking about? I thought Jesus was all about spiritual food. I thought Jesus was all about feeding the soul. Maybe, the scripture doesn't tell us, maybe what he was trying to find out, first of all, is which way his apostles would go. Are they going to go down the food route? Are they going to go down the soul route? And when they did go down the route of how are we going to feed all these people? We only have 200 denarii. There's another test, isn't there? Can you do it? Do you have enough faith? And Jesus will say at the end things like, oh, ye of little faith, because they weren't there yet. They had not passed that particular test of faith yet. Look at Matthew chapter 17, verse 14 through 20 with me, if you will. It talks about a boy that was healed. A man comes to Jesus. And he has a boy that needs to be healed. And he says, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and he suffers severely. He often falls into the fire and often falls into the water. So I brought him, listen, to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Here's a sick boy. He's an epileptic. He has seizures that can't be controlled. And here we have a concerned parent, a father, that says, please help me. Do you think that's a test? Do you think that's a trial? And his apostles could not heal him. What's Jesus' response? Verse 17, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And of course, he is healed. And we find out, if we continue on reading, the apostles are bewildered. Why couldn't we do it? Well, if you just had the faith of a mustard seed, you would be able. As a matter of fact, you'd be able to say to this mountain, go from here to there, and it would happen. Do you have that kind of faith? That's what Jesus is asking his apostles. They were still growing spiritually. They were still growing in faith. They were going through trials placed before them by God. They weren't temptations to do evil. They were tests of faith. We need to be warned that a test of faith is not a temptation by God to do evil. And we need to make sure that we have that clear in our minds. James wants us to not be deceived in this. James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, you see. Nor does he himself tempt anyone. But when each one is tempted, he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. James makes it clear there's a difference between having our faith tested by God and being drawn away by Satan. Those are two different things. What kind of attitude should we have when we are tested by God? James says we should count it all joy. Is that hard to do? When you're going through a difficulty in life, when you're going through something that seems severe to you, is it hard to find joy in that? It is, isn't it? Especially when you're going through the middle of that storm. Sometimes, though, when you come out on the other side, you can see things a little more clearly. You realize, hey, I passed that one. Well, that might be a cause for joy, wouldn't it? That might be a cause because you can see God in your life. Passing trials in life develops something in us. It develops a quality that God Himself has. Patience. And that's a reason for joy right there, James says. I think patience is a little bit difficult sometimes for me to understand, or at least that it has been. I know what patience is, but I don't always achieve it. And I think sometimes that's because people think patience is waiting for the difficulty to pass them by. If I can be strong enough for this difficulty, for this trial to pass me by, and I'm still standing, then I'm a patient person. But is that really what godly patience is? Patience, if you look at the definition, means holding out. It means bearing up. It means being strong. And it's actually an active verb. It's the idea of having a bridge and having supports under a bridge, and you have a heavy train going over that bridge, and those supports have to bear up that load. They have to be strong enough to endure that load. And when James talks about being patient or developing patience, it's actually an active verb. In other words, we need to have active endurance. Matthew chapter 24. Jesus talks about the destruction that will come of the temple. He talks about some signs that you will see. Listen to some of the things that are going to happen. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 6. You will hear us, verse 5, Many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. And they will deceive many. There's going to be false Christs. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Verse 7, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be famines and pestilence and earthquakes. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. There's going to be many things that Christians are going to go through, and these are signs of something that is going to happen. And we understand that that's going to be the destruction of Jerusalem. Look at verse 13, though. What does Jesus encourage? But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Did you know that word endures translated right there is the same word in the original as he who has patience to the end shall be saved? Someone who actively endures. Someone who actively pushes back against the trial. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5, Paul will say that we also glory in tribulations. Really, Paul? You're happy about tribulations? That seems odd to us. But there's a reason. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And character produces patience. So when James simply says, count it all joy, brethren, because that produces patience, there's a whole lot more behind that word than what we assume sometimes. It's not just wanting our suffering to pass, but it's the ability to handle our suffering head on. It's the ability to handle our suffering in a godly way. It's ability to handle our tribulations with endurance, with patience. We're going to dig just a little bit deeper in this. James exposes in his letter some things and some disappointments in the Christian life. We're not going to read all of them, but I'll mention a few. James chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, he talks about persecutions from the rich who will drag Christians into the courts and they will sue Christians. You think that's a persecution? You bet it is. Somebody goes after you or your money or tries to take advantage of you just because you're a Christian. Has that ever happened to you? I know it's happened to congregations. Some that might have a food bank or some that might have money to help those who are traveling and they run out of gas or their car breaks down or something like that. And you help someone and you should help someone, but then they come back the next week. I'm traveling to Texas. They come back the next week. I'm traveling to Nebraska. Wait a minute. I've seen you four times this month. You're traveling all over the place. No, they're using you is what they're doing because they know you have a good heart. They know you are compassionate. They know you are people of God. And sometimes the world will take advantage of that. Is that a trial? You bet it is. Will you continue to have a good Christian, godly attitude toward those people in those situations? God wants to know. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Paul suffered many persecutions simply because he preached the gospel. Was Paul doing anything wrong? No. Was he telling one nation to rise up against another nation and go to war? No. Was he telling people not to pay their taxes? No. He wasn't doing anything like that. He was asking people to come to God. He was asking people to be saved. He was asking people to love one another. He was asking people to be godly, and he was persecuted for it. Paul, are you going to stop preaching? Paul, are you going to quit? That was his trial. That was his test. James goes on and says there'll be a lot who simply have sicknesses. Do you believe sicknesses can be a trial? Do you believe sicknesses can be suffering in our lives? You bet there is. You have someone who loses a child. You have someone who loses a spouse to cancer and they never knew it was coming. It's a trial. Lord, why me? Why did it have to happen to me? Why did it have to happen to our family? Is that a test of faith? You
you bet that it is. There will be injustices. Again, James talks about the rich taking advantage of the poor in James chapter 5 and verse 4, and that they're not paying fair wages. They're cheating Christians. What's a Christian going to do about it? They're supposed to be godly. They're supposed to be good people. They're weak. That's the way the world sees humbleness, weakness. The world sees meekness as weakness. And we're supposed to be a meek people, aren't we? We're supposed to be a humble people, and the world sees that, and it will try to take advantage of you. How are you going to handle it? What kind of attitude are you going to have toward that? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. There's some things in here that are kind of gruesome at the end of chapter 11, to be honest with you. Some things that people have gone through for the cause of God in the past, in the Old Testament in particular, that are actually quite gory when we go to read them. Verse 35 of chapter 11 says, "Women received their dead raised to life again." Well, that's good, isn't it? They received their dead to life again. Read on. "Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and of imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword." If your life is on the line for the cause of God, if we ever reach a point in this country where our lives are on the line, all you have to do is step away from God. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I hope we never have to make that decision in this country. But people in the world have had to make that decision. People in the world today are making that decision. Have you read or have you heard the news? Have you seen what's going on over in the Middle East and in Iraq? Those who believe in God, now they may not follow God in the right way. They may not worship in the right way, but they have stood up and say, "I believe in God. I believe in the Creator. I believe that He is there and I want to worship Him. That is my God." They say, you either have to renounce Him, or you're going to have to get out, or you're going to have to die. That's going on right now in this world. What a trial. What a trial. Are they going to continue to stand up for God? Or are they going to lay down and give in to the world? Endurance, perseverance, patience. Jesus is the source of our faith. He's the source of our joy. He's the focus of the promises that have been given to us, isn't He? He asks us to have our faith tested from time to time. And we need to realize that that is going to happen. But how will understanding the fact that we're going to be tested, that we're going to go through sufferings, how will it affect us? Because sometimes intellectually we know something's going to happen, but then when it does, emotionally, we handle it a different way. Sometimes we ignore it. Sometimes we fall apart. Sometimes we become stronger. Each person is different. So knowing that something is coming is different than actually dealing with it when it comes. Will you be strengthened? Will you be able to reach and have this hope and joy that James and Paul talks about? Or will you allow yourself to be weakened? Will you allow yourself to be pulled away from God because it is just too hard? Will you allow the world to deceive you and comfort you and tell you that it is better than the Lord? To be honest with you, I want to be strong. I know you do too. I want to be faithful to God. I know you do too. I want to endure. I want to serve the Lord. I want to have the godly patience that James talks about. I want to understand the joy that James talks about when we come through a difficult time. But how do we do it? How do we get there? Because it's easy to say, I want that. It's much harder to say, this is how I'm going to get there. James chapter 1 and verse 5. He gives us at least one way to answer the how question. If any of you lacks wisdom, well, that's the wisdom to go through the trials, isn't it? That's what he was just talking about. You're going to go through various temptations. You're going to go through trials. And the testing of your faith produces patience. But if you have trouble going through that, if you lack the wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. You know what the dictionary says wisdom is? Dictionary says that wisdom is knowledge of what is true or what is right. I know the difference between right and wrong. The Lord has told me, has shown me the difference between good and evil. And part of wisdom is knowing what those differences are, but it doesn't end there. You see, you have to couple that with judgment. Not only do I know what's good and what's bad, I then have to decide what to do about it. I have to decide which path I'm going to take. And once I decide which path I'm going to take, what do I have to do? I have to take it, don't I? I have to act upon it. That is wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to think. It's the ability to act using our experience, using our understanding, and using the help of God, using the Word. In many ways, wisdom is just good old-fashioned common sense, lots of times. When we were little, we used to go out and get fireworks, 4th of July. We used to love those Whistler bottle rockets. Yew, boom, right? I had a friend of mine. He'd like to light them, and he'd wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. Right before the fuse was gone, he'd throw them up in the air. Psh, they'd take off. Well, you know, one time he didn't time it right. As soon as he threw it up, bam! You heard from the porch, that boy ain't got a lick of sense. From his granddaddy. Well, yes, he was a child. But sometimes we go through life and we do something and we look at ourselves afterwards and say, that was stupid. I ain't had a lick of sense when I did that. When you need help, ask God. When you need help, turn to His Word. When you need help, turn to each other. When you need help, find a good, godly person and get their advice. But most of all, pray, James says. Take to God your problems. Take to God your difficulties. Take to God your concerns. Pray to God, and He will help you without reproach. He knows you need help. He knows you need His wisdom. He knows. And James says He will help if you go to Him in faith. I'll tell you one more story before we end real quick. In my office, it's in a wing of the building that has been added to. And they still call it the new wing. It was built back in 1971. I was a year old. Anyway, it's wooden floor, wooden walls, wooden ceiling. We have a group that comes in during the summer that helps paint houses and do things like that. It's a work camp sponsored through Ohio Valley College. It was raining one day, storming. And so we had 80 kids in the building because there's nothing else to do. It was supposed to be outside painting. And, well, when they needed a place to go, it's no problem. Come on over. Well, they decided to have some devotionals and some singing and do some things. Well, one of the groups was right upstairs above my office. And evidently, their devotional involved some WWF wrestling of some sort. Okay? Because there was a lot of ruckus going on. And when I went upstairs to find out what was going on, there was two kids in a headlock by another kid, and he was upside down by somebody. It would have been great on film. But the fact it was making a lot of ruckus. And so I asked them to calm down and talk to, oh, sure, 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 sure. We'll do that. Now, I did tell you I was in the military, right? And it kept going and kept going and kept going. And I hear this thud, and the light shakes. The cover comes off the light. The fluorescent bulb falls out of the light fixture, lands on my desk, and glass goes everywhere. You start seeing red do this. Okay? And I'm sitting there going, all right. They're going to hear me in the next county in about 5 minutes as soon as I go upstairs. And you could just feel it, the anger building in me. And I threw the door open to the office, and I started out into the hallway, and I stopped right then and there. You know what? I was angry. I was livid. I like that word, livid. I was mad, and I was heading upstairs, and I was going to give them what for. I turned around, walked back into my office, shut the door, cleaned up the glass, got down on my knees and prayed. Because that wasn't going to be the right way to handle that. And I knew that at that moment, but I also didn't know how to go up there and handle that. Do you think that prayer helps? You bet it does. It gave me the time to calm down. It gave me the time to talk to my Lord. It gave me the time to think. It gave me the time to consider. And what I did is not deal with the problem. You see, one of the elders was in the building, and they were helping with the lunch. And I went to him, and I said, I need some help. I need you to do something for me. And we talked about it. And then you know what I did? I went out to lunch. Because like Joseph, sometimes you just have to get away from a situation when you're so angry. Don't you? Well, that's what I did. Half an hour later, I came back, and it was taken care of, and things were fine. You think that prayer helps? Prayer helps. When you need the wisdom to take to handle something, take it to God. To have godly patience, we need that godly wisdom. And that way is through prayer. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. We could sing that verse, can't we? James says, let him ask of God. And one thing I want you to realize is that that's not a one-time deal. That let him ask is let him keep on asking over and over and over. Keep taking it to God. Paul says to the Ephesians, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God will do more for you than you can imagine if you will just trust him. If you will just have faith in him. If you will just take it to him, God will help. God does not hold our needing that wisdom against us. He gives liberally. We may not know how God is going to help us. We may not know exactly what he is going to do in our lives through his providence to give us that wisdom or to give us that help. But we can have faith that he will help us. If he had says he was going to do it, then God will do it. We need to have faith that he will hold up his end of the bargain. Don't we? God is in our lives. Acts chapter 12. Peter was thrown into prison. Four detachments of guards around the prison to make sure that he didn't escape. The Christians are in the house praying, Lord, help us. They thought Peter was going to die that night. You know what happened by the end of the night? Earthquake. Prison gates opened. Peter walking up to the house. Hey, guys, I'm fine. Now, those are my words, not the Lord's. But that's essentially what happened. You think the Lord was with them that night? You think the Lord answered their prayers that night? You bet he did. There's an old saying, pray as if everything depends on God and work as if everything depends on you. You see, it's a handshake relationship. We have to have faith in God. God will answer our prayers. Bottom line is this, we're going to face trials. We're going to face persecutions. We're going to face difficult times in our life. Our faith will be tested, and it will be tested by God from time to time. When your time of testing happens, what will you do? How will you handle it? Will you have faith in Him? Will you rely on His wisdom that He has given us through His Word? Will you rely on prayer? Will you rely on the fact that He has given us promises that He will help us? Never doubt that the Lord will help you, that the Lord will get you through. Paul says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" What a wonderful, wonderful thought. Tonight, are you with God? If you are going through a trial, if you're going through a difficult time, if you are suffering, is God the source of your strength? Is the brethren around you the source of your strength? If not, He can be. If not, we can be. If you're going through trials and you're going through temptations and you're not one of God's children, my question to you is, why not? Why not have God on your side? Enter into the waters of baptism. Put off the old man and put on the new. Confess the Lord. Join Him. Have a home in heaven. Have that hope everlasting. And if you're going through difficulties this evening and you haven't reached out to God, then do so. If you haven't reached out to your brethren, do so. We will help. We will pray. And we will make you stronger. The Lord will answer prayer. If you have need of His invitation tonight, please come while we stand, while we sing.